The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. This first article is from BlackEnterprise.com, and it's titled, Tamia Guest Achieves Success as One of the Few Black Chiropractors. Tamia Guest, owner and founder of Rejuvenating Chiropractic, is putting her healing hands to work. According to KSBY, Guest is among less than 2.5% of Black chiropractors in the field after opening in 2013 and attending to the needs of almost 200 patients per week. The offices have expanded and opened a second location. Using her 20 years of hospital experience, Guest pursued her interest in chiropractic care. She was able to enter the entrepreneurial industry by establishing two chiropractic offices in the Dallas area. Guest opened her first office after she finished college, using college savings and support from her family. However, building her clientele was difficult. I am very shy. I am an introvert. You can be a good adjuster as far as chiropractic and wellness, but you are going to have to be able to get people in the door because those things really don't matter if you can't get people in the door, Guest said. Guest prior experience in healthcare contributed to her success as a chiropractor. I already kind of had a feel for how the medical field works with many doctors, nurses, and patients. So when I brought that to my clinical experience as a chiropractor, it was very natural and people felt like they could trust me, Guest said. Trust is significant for Black Americans seeking care. According to the Commonwealth Fund, a 2020 poll found that 55% of Black Americans do not trust the healthcare system. Although Black Americans are skeptical about the healthcare system, Guest provides comfort and trust among her patients. Many clients do specify that they would like to see a Black provider in the sense that they say they feel like they are very comfortable. They feel like they are heard, Guest said. She has established long-standing relationships with her patients. I've had most of my clients since my clinic years. I believe that many of them stay with me because I make them feel like family, Guest said. Despite statistics about the success of Black businesses, Guest said, there was nothing in mind that brought me to think I couldn't make it. You know, putting in the work. Reportedly, one-third of new businesses close before 2 years of operation, while 8 out of 10 Black-owned businesses fail within the first 18 months. Guest has hoped to train the future generation of chiropractors and business owners to help them build their communities. The next article is titled, Missy's Midas Touch. There's a reason the rapper has made history with her induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it's about much, much more than her music. I want to do everything that I say in the song. That was Missy Elliott's response when director Hype Williams asked for her ideas about the visual component of her 1997 hit song, The Rain, Super Duper Fly. In the video, she wore what appeared to be a crown. It was, in fact, a pair of vintage Allen McKinney lightly shades with glittering points that hugged her scalp. The effect was a crowning and a baptism at the same time. It was also a formal introduction to a new type of pop star, a thick girl entranced by the declarations of Run DMC and professional fly girls Salt and Pepper, primed to catapult the planet into the new millennium. She jerked her body and smirked her way into people's consciousness and into their hearts. To fans watching her, she almost seemed like an alien, but in fact, she's so human it hurts. I loved it, says Sandra Pepper Denton, of her introduction to Elliot's artistry. A longtime friend, Denton spells out the creative modes of expression Elliot has mastered, punctuating each one for those who may be unaware. Producing, writing, dancing, rapping, and, of course, singing. She's proud of her little sister. Both she and Elliot tell the story of the first time they meet backstage at a Salt and Pepper concert. She was just talking to me and I was nobody, Elliot says. It wasn't like I was coming out with a record, locally famous, or anything like that. She was so kind to me, and I always remembered that. It's the same grace and warmth Elliot herself has shown to others throughout her career. Missy is an innovator, a true pioneer, and visionary. R&B singer Monica says, yet her most beautiful attributes are her genuineness, love, and loyalty. The world is a better place because of this incredible soul. Back when I was a 5-year-old seeing her for the first time, I realized Elliot looked like women I knew. Her cropped finger waves, eyes that dance when onomatopoeias rolled off her tongue, and medium-length square-tip acrylics had me convinced that one of my family members had started a rap career and ain't tell nobody. In 1997, Elliot wasn't trying to change the world. Extravagance for its own sake wasn't on her mind either. In those days, Missy Misdemeanor Elliot, then in her mid-20s, was just hanging out, blunt blowing and trying to maintain, you know? I was having fun when doing the videos, she tells me during our conversation via Zoom. I never even thought, let me try to do this most outlandish thing that never crossed my mind. It just spoke to who I was in school. In other words, the Missy we saw on our screens wasn't a character. It was her authentic self, which is perhaps why she and her sound resonated so deeply. I was always just different, she continues. So, by the time I started doing videos, the music just really spoke to who I was as a person. And so, I never thought, hey, I'm going to do this, and this is going to change the world. It's going to change the way videos look. Or, I want to do the craziest thing ever. Nothing seemed crazy to me. Unlike Midas, the mythical king who prayed for the ability to turn everything he touched to gold, Elliot didn't have grand plans to shift the hip-hop industry into her own money-making enterprise. The Portsmouth, Virginia native just wanted the might to claw her way and her mother's way out of a life of poverty. Her father, a former Marine, had physically abused her mother. Turns out there was some heartache lurking behind the animated smiles, jazz hands, and one-legged hops. There are revolutionary hip-hop acts with debuts that came before and after hers, but Elliot holds the distinction of being rap's first solo female global star. It's disrespectful to call her work magic, because it's far from a trick. Her unshakable connection with her audience wasn't a flash in the pan. Elliot worked for it every time and never faltered. She made a hot song, then dropped that album, then released another single. You remember, right? The songs kept coming. The thermostat remained untouched. The albums, the ones certified by the Recording Industry Association of America, critics, grandmothers, high school Badassis, block party DJs, and kids who abide by the streetlights. And that's not even counting the hits she gave other people or the waves she started that are still reverberating in the form of Fresh Faces. 6 platinum albums, 4 Grammys, and more than a handful of instantly classic. I remember exactly where I was when I peeped that joint level music videos later. Elliot is now making history as the first woman in rap to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She says, most definitely didn't see that achievement in the cards. A gentle reminder that her humility is almost as famous as she is. Can modesty and notability be considered a double helix of her musical DNA? As a girl, Melissa Arnett Elliott prayed for acclaim, telling her classmates she'd be famous one day. Elliott also pretended to have conversations with Janet Jackson and Madonna. Later, not only would she join them as emblems of feminist freedom, but she would also work on songs with them both. Despite her belief in the future, Elliot came of age with anxiety at a time when altar calls seemed like the only acceptable form of therapy for Black folks. I think that a lot of things were brushed up under the rug for me growing up, and probably also for a lot of people, she says, as illusions of Black women's mental fortitude have begun to wane, there's still ground to till. She has become more comfortable talking about where she's been, like so many others. She says she had some hard moments during the mass isolation phase of the pandemic. I had so much time to just think of childhood stuff and all kinds of stuff, she says, but that's what makes me human. She also mentions a nearly 2-year low period that happened over a decade ago, which was compounded by her battle with Graves' disease, an autoimmune disorder. Now I'm fine with being like, hey, I got anxiety or I went through depression, she says. Even the biggest artist or just the regular everyday working person, we all go through stuff. We all do it, and it's okay to say, hey, I'm not okay today. Probably we would keep a lot of people around if we were that open, because we would be able to uplift each other. We would know that I am not going to look at you crazy if you say, hey, I'm having a rough day. Maybe you're thinking things that you shouldn't think, or whatever the case may be. A well-known contemporary whose name she prefers not to share, just know Timbaland is my brother, but it's not him, helped her push through. I had a peer of mine say, hey, look, I've been through the same thing, she says. And he was just like, next time I see you, I'm going to put a mirror in front of your face so you can remember who you are and all that you have done. Now she's that mirror for Black women whenever she can be. The rapper has always been a giver. One winter during her childhood, Elliot wanted to give back. She carefully placed toys in a nearby wooded area for her neighbors to retrieve at their leisure. There was one small prop. The toys were Missy's Christmas presents. Though her father made her go knock on the neighbor's doors to reclaim her gifts, that charitable spirit never left her. In 2020, influencer Najia Bradshaw tweeted about not having the funds for wedding dress of her dreams as a sort of wish upon a star moment. And like a fairy godmother, Elliot, who wasn't even following her, somehow came across the post and sent her the cash for the dress. I was sitting in my room and just tweeting on my phone, like, I'm not going to get the dress that I want, but at least I can get to marry the person I love, Bradshaw, 25, recalls. 20 minutes and a scepter flourish later, plans for her special day became the type of story you tell at every cookout. For Bradshaw, a plus-size creator, having one of her childhood heroes play a part in outfitting her for a major event was life-altering. I think I told her before, like, you changed my perspective on fashion, she explains. Missy wore whatever she wanted, regardless of her size, regardless of what anyone thought. While Elliot credits Hype Williams for coming up with the idea for the inflatable patent leather suit she wore in her music video of The Rain Super Duper Fly, her decision to rock it, especially at a time when many black women in hip-hop videos were scantily clad vixens, was a game changer. For me to put on something to make me look even bigger than what I was, that was not the typical thing, Elliot says. Everything was kind of like a look back then. But, like I said, nothing is too outlandish for me. It's been 4 years since Elliot's last project, the EP Iconology, and nearly 20 since her last studio album with new songs. Since some of the fans dancing to her music on TikTok look like they have to adhere to curfews, it's not an exaggeration to say that it's been a lifetime. The streets want to know when some new misdemeanor will rattle their Jeep speakers. I got some new stuff in the works, Elliot says, promising that it will be fun and upbeat. I can hear her grinning on the Zoom. I don't get a chance to ask when we'll get to hear it, but I'm praying it will be soon because it's not really summertime until we hear her shout New Missy at the beginning of a track like a food fight announcement. I never tell dates, Elliot explains, because when I tell you dates, it will get you in trouble with them fans. Despite the roster of well-respected artists she's already worked with, she has more on her wish list. She names Andre 3000, Rihanna. We were supposed to have worked a few times together. I think the scheduling was off or something. I don't know. We just never have. Erykah Badu and Jill Scott. I want them to rap as artists she'd love to collaborate with. Elliot also isn't afraid to revisit old songs. She says she's down to finally make a music video for Signs, a Beyoncé deep cut that taught generations the correct order of the zodiac signs. Yeah, she gone. Have to pull that back out, Missy says with girlish delight. If I'm quiet enough, I can hear her wheels turning. Her career has spanned over 25 years, and somehow Elliot keeps managing to reinvent herself. In a way, she has always seemed like she was part of the future. In 1997, it felt like she was in 2023, and today it feels like she's light years ahead of the rest of us. And of the rap game, what does she see as the key to longevity in music? Simple, she says, be yourself. Humility matters too. Before she died, when Missy was a child, the rapper's grandmother stressed the importance of being humble, regardless of which rung of the social ladder you were situated in. I'll always tell people that relationships, especially in this business, are more important than a check, Elliot says. As long as you have great relationships, you will always get a check because people won't mind helping you when you are down and out. I want people to know me for good music, but just being a good person, that is important. Legacy is tricky, or at least it can be. Some superstars have deeply complicated theirs by showing us all the cogs on social media. Others have died young, leaving us with remnants of glory and a longing for what could have been. Then there are some who give their all, talent-wise, and trust us to put together the pieces. For Elliot, legacy isn't the finite formation that hovers over us. It is as flexible as we are and woven into our day-to-day, how we think, how we live, how we love. Often it doesn't even need words. It's just felt. I guess that's why our homegirl says, I think my legacy speaks for itself. The next article is titled, Black Women Behind the Music. These powerhouse execs are among the most important players in music industry boardrooms right now. Where would the music industry be without black women? Thankfully, that's a question we'll never have to answer, because black women, both in front of the mic and in the C-suites, have made and continue to make significant creative contributions to the culture. Yet, like black women in so many professions, these power players are often subject to harsh criticism, forcing them to work twice as hard to achieve the same degree of recognition and respect as their male counterparts in the industry at large. But as we celebrate 50 years of hip-hop, their influence is undeniable as they carry forward the torch originally lit by the black women who pushed open doors before them. They make the wins look almost easy. Meet two music execs who are the masterminds and marketers behind some of the biggest artists of our generation. Barreline Diaz, founder and chairwoman, Great Day Records. Barreline Diaz is a living testament to the phrase, the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. If there's nothing Diaz is going to do, it's hustle. And the 28-year-old has a resume to prove it. As the founder and chairwoman of the newly launched Great Day Records, Diaz has cemented her place in history by creating an empowering space for the next generation of musical talent. Prior to Great Day, she served as vice president of A&R at Interscope Records and as manager to rising star Babyface Ray. She also oversaw the promotional careers of DaBaby and Moneybagg Yo. I've been passionate about music since I can remember, says Diaz. I've always been in love with hip-hop and how it makes people feel. Not just hip-hop, but music in general. I love operating behind the scenes, seeing what's next from an artist. Artists are pushing the culture forward and creating the soundtracks of people's lives. I want my company and the artists I sign to make people feel good. My ultimate goal is to help find and guide the next generation of superstars. Diaz comes a long way from where she started out in her business, serving coffee and taking phone calls. These days, the New York native is calling the shots and embracing everything that the future has to offer. I feel like amazing things are coming my way, she says. I'm not in a rush to get the hottest thing right now. I'm cool with taking my time and building a company that's going to have superstars moving forward, which means getting back to real artist development and teaching and guiding artists to find their true selves in their music to create the best music possible. The next article is titled, Get to Know Patrice Walker, the Mastermind Behind the Branding Bag, from BlackEnterprise.com. Black businesses have experienced significant growth in recent years, a direct result of community support and new initiatives. Patrice Walker, founder and CEO of The Branding Bag, TBB, is helping elevate these businesses. Established in 2020, The Branding Bag is an online-based business enterprise that allows small business owners to platform themselves and market their products. The company now operates across 32 states, over 7,500 members. However, while it has made a substantial difference for entrepreneurs through its platform, what really makes TBB stand out is its coaching academy. The Branding Bag Academy offers resources and opportunities to building entrepreneurs, including weekly meetings, one-on-one coaching sessions, and mentorship programs. In an interview with Black Enterprise, Walker discussed the launch of TBB, how her experiences as a Black woman have informed her path, and her words of wisdom for other business owners. Walker started the Branding Bag Academy after realizing that the needs of aspiring entrepreneurs weren't being met and that traditional marketing techniques weren't garnering results. As a serial entrepreneur, I knew the importance of networking and marketing yourself outside of your timeline. I joined so many business groups to do just that, only to be told I can only post on Wednesdays or Saturdays, or that I need to pay to post. When you are small and growing, it's not always in the budget to pay per post with the hopes that you get a client, she says. I actually got kicked out of a few groups with no warnings because I unintentionally posted on a day that wasn't approved to post. I got mad, said enough was enough, and created my own group. While observing the businesses that were posted, I would see certain posts that didn't get any traction. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.